Welcome to the small batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture blog, Monkey See, and I am here in historic Studio 34, a visit down here with our friend Petra Mayer. Hi, Petra.
Hi, Linda.
So the reason why I wanted to talk to Petra today is that Petra is recently returned from New York Comic Con. Many of you are familiar with San Diego Comic-Con. We did a live show there this summer, but this is the Comic-Con in New York, which I think traditionally people have thought of as a bit of a little brother or little sister to Comic-Con in San Diego. But Petra, I heard that there has been a little shift to that as of this year.
New York Comic-Con this year, I think the official attendance figure was something like 150,000 people, which means they've beat out San Diego, which usually has around 130.
So this is the bigger one now.
It is the bigger one in terms of numbers.
Right.
In terms of entertainment industry presence, that's still bigger at San Diego. And one of the things about New York Comic-Con that I noticed was that the big name guests weren't, you know, the cast of Game of Thrones or True Blood or whatever. They were actually comics industry people.
Having been at both, do you feel like New York Comic-Con, that a greater proportion of it is comics related than San Diego?
There's still a lot of
other stuff.
Yeah. My favorite thing was, and now I'm going to totally betray my nerd credentials because I don't know how you pronounce the name of Peter Jackson's special effects house. Is it Weta or Weta?
I think it's Weta.
They were there and they had a really cool booth with a giant head of Smaug the dragon
with
eyes that moved and blinked and looked around at you, and that was cool. But by and large, it was much more comics oriented than San Diego.
So in addition to just going to Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con generally, you also moderated a panel at New York Comic-Con.
I did. It was called These Are My People, and it was about building sort of audience communities around your created world, building a fandom for your work. 8 authors who've all built up substantial online followings for their work, and we had a nice conversation about how you make that happen and what people get out of online interaction.
It wasn't about building the world inside your fiction, but building the world of people who like your fiction.
Exactly.
Not
world building, which is my jam.
Right.
But building an audience.
Right. I see. Can you remind me of a couple of the authors that were on that panel?
Sure. I had to sort of restrain myself from fangirl wibbling because N.K. Jemisin, if I have not evangelized to everybody in the PCHH world about her before, oh my God, the Inheritance trilogy, it's so good. It's just so good. Richard Kadrey, who writes the Sandman Slim books, those are also fantastic. Daniel Jose Older writes the Bone Street Rumba series. I love him. He's actually been on NPR a lot before. He's associated with the We Need Diverse Books movement.
Oh, sure.
Trevor Price, who used to play for the Baltimore Ravens and now
fabulous,
writes a series of children's books about badass warrior frogs, illustrated by Sanford Green, a very good comics artist.
Yeah. Well, rather than pop quizzing you, I will we'll link to the full list of authors who were there. I just wanted to give people a sense of sort of who you were chatting with.
Sure, sure.
And speaking of who you were chatting with, while you were in New York for Comic-Con, you did a sort of adjacent event.
I did.
Tell me a little bit about that event.
I was asked to interview Gillian Anderson.
Agent Scully.
Yeah. This is about her new book called A Vision of Fire. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of paranormal thriller about a child psychologist who associated with the UN, who discovers that all over the world, teenagers who've suffered traumas are suddenly having these strange experiences where they're like possessed or speaking in tongues or weird things seem to be happening to them. And then she has to race to solve the mystery with the help of her skeptical friend, who's a translator at the UN. The thing that I want to say about the book, it does read a lot like an X-Files episode. And she herself says she was envisioning it as a movie treatment and that she wanted to play the lead character. And I really liked the lead character because she's a 40-year-old single woman with a deaf son and a very demanding career. You know, she's not neurotic or tortured. She doesn't drink. She doesn't binge. She doesn't have any secret habits that would indicate that being a 40-year-old single woman with a deaf son and a demanding career is a bad thing.
Right.
She juggles everything with grace. She has a support network in place. When she has to run off to Iran to investigate what happened to a kid there, she calls her dad and he comes and takes care of the kid. And she says, hey, kid, I have to go do this.
Yeah.
I'll be back soon. You know?
She's had some interesting things to say, I feel like, recently about roles for women and kind of show business stuff with women. So I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah, this is definitely, I think, growing out of what she's been saying lately. And she said that she wants to play this character if it's ever adapted for the screen. So
yeah. Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday at npr.org or at iTunes or wherever you find podcasts. Thank you, Petra.
Thank you, Linda.